will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us.
Thank you. God with us. Jesus left his royal throne, came to dwell on earth with us. And for all of us that have received him, he's never going to leave us. He's always going to be with us. The psalmist said, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? That's Psalm 139:7. Matthew 28:20 says, and behold, I am always with you to the end of the age. Psalm 145:18 says, the Lord is near to all who call on his name, to all who call in truth. You know, I think some people grew up thinking that when they did something bad, that God abandoned them. Okay, you're bad, so I'm backing off. It's not the truth for us. It's not the truth at all. You're not perfect. And you're not going to reach perfection. But you are going to reach maturity. There's a difference. And you're going to live in that maturity. I'm going to live in it. But God is going to be there with us always. The word says we have access to him. Ephesians 2:18 says, through him we both have access by one spirit to the Father. So God is with us. And then one of my favorite verses is John 1:14. It says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So God is always going to be with us. Yes. And guess what? So is grace and truth.
Yes.
Grace and truth is with us. Praise God for that. Thank you, Jesus. So I don't know if you've ever heard of this. There's a place in Israel called Wadi Quilta. Wadi Quilta. Wadi Quilta is a large ravine. It's very deep. And it goes from Jerusalem to Jericho. And all along the way, a lot of it's dry. It's a dry riverbed. But all along the way, there are pools of water. And then there's this real cool monastery built in the cliffs. It's something to see. But I don't know if you knew this, but that, and you can go in and hike there to this day. It's really cool. But they used to call it the Prophet's Highway. And it's just a major thoroughfare in the time of Jesus. He walked that way all the time. In fact, the story of the certain man with the Samaritan, that's where he was ambushed. He was ambushed there. Now, this is going to be something interesting you may not have known. David walked there. And David called it and even quoted it in a psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's Wadi Quilta. Wadi means creek or, but I mean, this thing is deep. Not as deep like as the Grand Canyon, but pretty deep. And so David called it this because it could be a bright, beautiful, sunny day. And all of a sudden, if it started raining up in Jerusalem, there would be a flash flood. And who's ever walking through Wadi Quilta is just going to be gone. It'll take all the sheep out. It'll take everything out. So or you could get ambushed from there. So David is saying, yea, though I walk through this creek bed, which is very dangerous, you will be with me. Mm-hmm. Now, what I just did was I just gave you a bigger picture of something you've known for a long time.
Yes.
See that?
Yes.
Just gave you a bigger picture. And this is what we're endeavoring to do these days is dig into the Bible and the Hebrew and Greek meanings of words, and also having a look at the land. Now, when you dig into the Hebrew language, you find out things about the culture and the customs of what was being written. So you're going to end up knowing more. Remember what we found out about Shalom? It changed our lives. We don't put up with chaos anymore. Shalom, shalom. I got news for you. There's even something deeper about that. I'm not going to give it to you tonight, but I've learned something else about it. We got to stay on subject. Emily Dickinson said, I know nothing in the world that has as much power as a word. Words are so powerful. And so this is true when we come to the word Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. Literally, it said, with us is God. With us is God. And this tells us the role of Jesus. This reveals the graciousness of God. God loved us so much, he sent a Messiah. He is present, he is personable, and he is knowable. So he's present, but not just in the sense that he feels all reality. Okay? He's personable. He's present, but he's personable. He's there. And he created us because he wanted to be with us. So, you know, when you look at him and you look at something like Psalm 103, it's, you know, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless, you know it. It says, don't forget his benefits. What are the top two benefits? Forgives all your sin and what? Those two are together. Did he forgive your sins? Then he healed your body. He healed your body. So these things, we look at these things and they're important. And we see that he's there to heal. He's there to help. But he's also personable. He's friendly. He's amiable. And he wants to be close to you. And he's personal. He's very personal. And then he's knowable. You're all familiar with the scripture that says that the children of Israel knew his acts, but Moses knew his ways. He knew God. And you can know God. You don't have to just know about God. You can know God. He's with you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. And he's not there just to be a big hovering cloud that's just in the atmosphere. The person of the Holy Spirit should be the most important thing in your life. Oh, Pastor, I thought the word was. He wrote the word, church. He wrote the word. Without him, you can't interpret that word. And so that's what we're doing. He's leading us down paths where we can break these words open, even the letters in the Hebrew language, break it open, and we get more from it. And we can find out more about this God that is with us. Amen. I'm excited about it. I hope you are too. Jesus came and he revealed something to us, or someone to us. He revealed the Father to us. God, Father God's like that. Father God's not some mean old meanie up there going, you better go talk to him. I might smash him. He's like Grandpa Walton, okay? You know, he's happy. He's good. He loves you, only much more powerful than Grandpa Walton. But he's tender like that. He's a happy God. We need to know that, and we need to know him. So you can know him. Now, this is what I want to get to. I want to call your attention to something that we need to all understand about this God who is with us. Jesus coming as a man to be with us changes us. If Jesus came as God, we could just step back and be impressed. Wow, God came. God came. Wonderful. But Jesus didn't come just as God. Listen to this scripture. Because if it's true that he didn't come, then I can't just step back and just be impressed. I got to get involved. Listen to this, the scripture here. This is Philippians 2:5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal with God. He's equal with God. But made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So God existed in glory more wonderful than the human mind can comprehend and more powerful than the human flesh can endure. That's our God. And yet he desired to come to earth to purchase redemption for us. Therefore, God had no choice but to reclothe himself in a manner that could be tolerated by man. He had to do it that way. That's why he came as a baby. So you'd know who you are. If he just popped out on the scene, dun da da da, I'm here, God, the Messiah, I've come into the earth. Then you'd have gone, well, okay, praise God. But he came to tell you who you are.
Oh, that's so good.
The God who is with you wants you to know who you are. So he made himself of no reputation. He took on the form of a servant. And he came in the likeness of men. And that's the Christmas story. That's the Christmas story, church. And he came to be with us to reveal something really powerful. I know you know what I'm about to say. But I just want to repeat it to you so you can ponder this through the Christmas season. This is what's revealed to us. There are no limits to a man or a woman who is baptized in the Holy Spirit. No limits. You can minister to people just like Jesus did. You have that capability. Jesus came as a man. He wasn't, when he was a little kid, he wasn't raising birds from the dead. He was working as an apprentice when he got old enough to do it. I'm sure he was a good kid. I'll tell you what he was doing. Studying.
I believe that.
He was studying, talking to the rabbis. Finding out who he was. That's how you find out who you are.
Yeah.
You keep listening to the rabbis.
That's right.
We don't call ourselves. It means teacher.
Yeah.
So, but listen to this. Beloved, now this is 1 John 4:1. This is what God has given you. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you will know. That's going to help you right here, okay? By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Did you get that? That's how you're going to know whether someone's a prophet, a false prophet, or whether someone has a demon spirit talking to you. That's how you're going to know. If they can't confess that Jesus came in the flesh, it's not of God. Now, church, I understand that there are people who are ignorant. I don't mean stupid. I mean ignorant. They just don't know. They just think God came to the earth. But Jesus specifically called himself Son of Man. He didn't call himself Son of God. You remember the demon spirits let me read it to you. Mark 1:23. There was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." What? But Jesus rebuked him and said, "Be quiet. Come out of him." What's going on there? They're trying to call him the Holy One of God. They're trying to call him God. Because I remind you that spirits have no authority on the earth. Do you hear me? God gave the lease to Adam. You have to have an earth suit on to have authority in this realm. And the reason why we have both authorities is because we've received Jesus. And the reason why God can operate through us is because we've given him permission. Demons operate through people who give them permission. Do you hear me? They operate through people who give them permission. A lie can't even come. It can come and attack you, but it can't stay unless you give it permission. You don't have to believe the lie and keep confessing it. Now, so when you ask a spirit if Jesus came in the flesh, they don't want to say yes, because that means they're defeated. They believe the lie. They're like, "Oh, no, he came as God. He came as God." No, they can't get that out their mouths. But Jesus came in the flesh. And that's one of the greatest part of the Christmas story that so many people miss. They just think, "Oh, God came to the earth." No, God left his majesty, came into the earth as a man, as a baby. Came as a man, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and started flowing in the anointing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. Luke 4, and you know all the things. What did he do before Luke 4? In Luke 3, he went out to the wilderness. He beat the devil with words. A man with the Holy Ghost beat the devil with words. You can beat the devil with words. I mean, not just have success over him, beat him.
Wow.
You win. So Emmanuel, this God that is with us, has a much deeper story than just the God who came. He came so that greater works you could do. You can do greater works. There's 19 miracles in the Bible, 19 healings. Now it said at the end of that he did many, many more. They're just not recorded. Because they said this, Jesus healed them all. They were touching his robe, walking down the street, getting healed. Oh yeah, I'll say that. The Bible says that they came to hear and be healed.
Yeah.
Not just be healed.
Yeah.
They came to hear and be healed.
Yeah.
That's another thing this God that is with you has given you. You can come. It's so important to be a part of a local church.
Mm-hmm.
So important. Because you can hear and be healed. You're not out there on your own. You can hear. Well, you know, Pastor, I can hear it on the Facebook. Well, It's not the same. You're forsaking yourself if you don't assemble. In these days, we really need to be together. You're sitting in here in God's will. But this God that's with us, he's with us right here. He's with us right now. He's with us in this anointing. He's with you when you leave here. He's with you when you lay down tonight. He's with you when you're crying. He's with you when you're happy, when you're sad. He's with you when you're trying to save someone's life. He's with you whatever you're doing. He's with you. You're never alone. And then he's given you this precious gift of having the believer's authority. And being able to pick out and know what's right and what's truth and what isn't. How many of you would just say, in your life you could tell when the truth is spoken. And you'll go, that's the truth right there. Remember when you first heard God was good? And you went, oh yeah. The thief is the one that came to kill, steal, and destroy. God's not doing that stuff. And it turned a light on. And you're like, that's the real truth. The real truth isn't that thing that goes around in the body of Christ that says, well, you know, God knew you could handle the sickness. That's not in the Bible. But you knew the truth when you heard it. Amen. You are quiet tonight. I actually have a good voice tonight. Y'all should be loud.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Do you feel like you really have a real hold on the fact that you have authority? You really see that? You do? Use it. Use it. Because see, when he dropped off that throne and came and did what he did, he put you on a throne.
Wow.
You've been raised with Christ, according to Ephesians 1 and 2. You're raised to a higher level. You're a higher level being right now. You're a higher level being right now. That's how you succeed. I think the Christmas story has gotten a little weak over the years for people. But the same truths are there. This God loved us so much that he took off all the royal robes and stepped down into the mess. And showed compassion like never before. Jesus showed us how the Father was full of compassion. He's still like that, church. He's still full of compassion. He loves you. I've been telling you this lately. I'm going to tell you again because I want you to remember throughout the season. God finds no fault in you. He's not sitting around finding fault. Jesus paid. But he does want you to get up and do something with it. And here's the interesting thing about that. He'll give you the grace to do it. Whatever is your calling in life, he'll give you the grace. You're not without the grace. Whatever he's told you to do, you are also carrying with that very command the grace to get that done. If you look around this room, there's a room full of success stories. That's who we are. Because of him. Because he's always with us. Because he's a God that cared to come. He's not far off going, just let them all go to hell. No. He cares. And he cares that you don't have hell on earth. Well, you know, Pastor, I'm just not breaking through on that. Well, it's time to. Start by talking to yourself. Give yourself a pep talk. Yep. I'm victory going somewhere to happen. Yep. I win. The devil's defeated. Satan, shut up, get out.
Amen.
Lie, get out.
Yep.
I have what God promised me.
Yeah.
I have it.
Yes.
To start talking to yourself like that.
That is right.
Start talking to yourself.
Yes.
Don't ease off because of the season.
Amen.
Emmanuel came to be with you. He came to share life with you. He came to reveal the Father to you. You're a force to be reckoned with because he brought you power. And on top of being a force to be reckoned with, the biggest force of the universe is backing you up right now. If you just see that. I gotta tell it. I'll tell you a story I've told you 100 times. Brother Copeland's a little kid. He walks into that little bar space or whatever it was in that hotel. He's watching them play shuffleboard. He reaches up. He takes his finger, runs it across that shuffleboard, and you know, all the, what's it called? The
sawdust
on it just kind of moves away, you know. The two men playing shuffleboard start yelling at him. Boy, you better go. All of a sudden, he feels a big hand on his shoulder. It's his dad. And his dad says, "You got something to say to this boy? You better say it to me." Oh, yes, sir. They backed right up. I'm telling you, that's the God you have. That's the God standing behind you right now. You got something to say to this kid? You better say it to me. And then A.W. took Kenneth upstairs to the hotel room, slammed the door and said, "Boy, keep your hands off every dad blurn thing that's in here." That story has helped me for 30-something years to know that I've got a God backing me up.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you pick a fight knowing your big brother's standing behind you. You're going to win.
That's right. Yep.
You are going to win.
I am.
You're going to get your stuff.
Yeah.
You're going to get your healing.
Yep.
You're going to get your land, your houses, your finances, your debt freedom, your Derek, the path you're supposed to be on. Is that the right word? Derek? Yeah. It's all right here for you. Because the biggest one in the universe is right here with you, whispering in your heart every day. Look at that. Do that. Don't go there. This is good. Watch out for this. Watch this. Look at this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, things are changing.
Yes, ma'am.
You're going to find yourself more successful than you've ever been.
Yeah.
The cream is rising to the top.
Boom.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't stop rising now. I don't brag when I tell you this, but everything I've ever done, I've gone to the top.
Amen.
Since I've served God.
Yeah.
Every church I worked at, I ended up being second.
Mm-hmm.
Every job that I had, gone right up to the top.
Mm-hmm.
Or owned the business. How's that possible just for somebody like me? The favor of God, and because the biggest one in the universe loves me.
That's right.
He loves me. People picked us for the silliest thing. I don't know why. We started a business in 1981, I think. We went around 8 places to try to get the... We were taking creative dramatics and dance into the daycares, because Deb is and was a dance minor and a drama major.
Mm-hmm.
And refused to get her teaching certificate.
Yep.
Well, you ended up fine. I mean, you got to make $65 an hour doing jelly beans. So we went around all these schools. You know, we were going to take it to the school. Y'all get the picture. Instead of them coming to the studio. And so we take it to all the schools. And we went to 8 places. And someone came up with the idea. And went to every one of those schools right before us. We thought, we didn't know anybody else knew to do this. We won every school.
Yeah.
And we ended up traveling New Braunfels, Seguin, Austin, San Marcos, Lockhart. And we'd have a route every week. Mm-hmm. And it was just the favor of God. The house we lived in next to Debbie was just the favor of God. We just went and knocked on the guy's door and said, we'd like to live in that house. Can we make a deal with you? My brother-in-law built 7-Elevens, and he had all these lighting fixtures. Y'all remember when they had the lights that kind of leaned over? And so they're cool, aren't they? So I just told the guy, says, I don't have a down payment to get in there, but a deposit, but I'll give you some of these lights. Then I'll ask my brother-in-law if I can have them. Which I found favor with him too. And the guy just says, okay, move in. And then y'all remember the story about the house with the, you're going to win the lottery?
Yeah.
You're going to win the lottery. And then 50 people are trying to shove money in the pockets of that ranch house mm-hmm. in Austin. Mm-hmm. Who got it? We got it. Yeah. That's on you.
Yeah.
That's what's on you. Well, I don't need that. Oh, yes, you do. Why? Because you're doing God's purpose. And you need to go through some doors. You need to know some people. People need to see your influence. People need to see the favor of God on your life. That's your witness. They don't need to see broke and busted and beat up and sick and yucky. They need to see that if anything does happen, you overcome it.
Yeah.
They need to see that you have successes. This is your witness. So it's just not all about you doing well. But it is. Because on the flip side of that, that's exactly what God wants for you. Yes, he has purpose for it. But also, here's one of the purposes. It is to destroy the works of the devil. But here's the other thing. He loves you. And you know the people you love, you want to give good gifts to. Do you? Oh, man, yes.
So much.
What can I buy you? What can I get you? You just want to bless people. You want to say something good about them. You want to enjoy their company. You want to, well, that's how he feels about you. You believe it?
I believe that.
Believe God loves you?
Yeah.
You don't need to worry. You need to worry about anything. Well, what if I'm on the wrong track? Well, what if you're not? Because he'll get you right back on the right track.
He will.
Someone just told me a story in the coffee shop. Well, I was kind of planning on going to such and such and such, and I prayed about it, and God said no. That's all it took. They heard from God. You just hear from God. He'll talk to you. He'll lead you. He'll comfort you. And if you get off, he'll get you right back on. Are y'all still here? All right. Father, we just thank you for this word. We thank you, Jesus, for coming as the Son of Man. We thank you, Lord, that you are dwelling among us. Thank you for your grace and truth. Thank you that, Holy Spirit, you're always guiding and leading and comforting and blessing and moving us ahead. We do win. We overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us enough to die for us. We are victorious. Who is it that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We overcome by our faith in him. Have faith, church. Nothing's lost. All is gained. In 2023, we are going to see magnificent glory in this house, around this house, around this world. Amen.